So the topic today is about introspection. And actually, introspection is the basis of the real power of silence. Because introspection is not just to be quiet, not just to detach, but introspection is to direct the mind and the intellect towards the ultimate. The ultimate is the original self and Baba. And we know that unless we become introspective, we will never be able to deal with the external realities, the external life very well. Because the person who is truly introspective is able to then tune in to the outside world. Doesn't remain inside. Introspection doesn't mean to keep remaining in. It means to be able to go in and to go out as often as possible. Because an introspective person, a spiritually introspective person, has a great deal of flexibility. And now it's the time, isn't it, that we are all searching to create bridges, to create balances, to have empathy towards others, to express Baba's compassion, to have a connection with Baba himself, to have subtle, deep experiences. I think we all come here to Baba for this, to have these, to try to find these things. But if I'm not introspective, no matter how much knowledge I hear, or how many workshops I do, I will never be able to have that genuine spirituality. Because I think all of us have become tired in bhakti, and many people have become tired also of superficial so-called spirituality, where everything has become simply a belief or a ritual or a custom. You see, when there's no longer the living experience, then people substitute things. When there's an experience very, very deep of love, of peace, of connection with God, it's just in itself very, very, very satisfying. But when people don't have experience, then there's a degeneration. And they start to have many different beliefs. And they will even fight over who has the right belief. That's global and local, that happens. No, what Srimad is this? Baba didn't say this and Baba meant that. You know, this has always happened. But when I have an experience, I go beyond superficial beliefs. Like a deity in the golden age, that is a perfected human being. What will they say? They will not say, oh, you know, I believe in love. I believe I'm a soul. They will never use this word. Why? Because they are that. Now here we are students, so we have to reach that stage of pure being, but I will only be able to reach it if I really become introspective. And introspection keeps me very attentive with myself. And for example, am I getting into substitutes? For example, talking about what, you know, beliefs and what knowledge means and that and all the other, which is, I mean, it's good, the reflection in knowledge, but there's a point where I have to become that. If I don't become that, I'm just philosophizing. So it's very important that for an authentic spiritual life, you know, Brahman life must not become a life of philosophy. The life of philosophy is usually, I'm right, you're wrong, correcting. lots and lots of explanations. Not that explanation is not good, it's good. But when you are explaining to other people something about God, for example, about the relationship with Baba, if at the same time they feel you have that, then they listen to the explanation. Otherwise they think usually, you know, we are just teachers. So introspection creates a mirror. It is a mirror of silence where I'm able to see today at which point I am. I'm able to see myself on a minute basis, on an hour basis, on a day basis, and I'm able to see myself on the basis of eternity. Because in that mirror of silence, which comes only through introspection, I can also not just see, but feel. I can feel my destiny. Because when we speak in the language of spirituality, when we use the word seeing, it also means, as well as understanding, also a feeling for it. What you don't feel, you won't be inspired for. You'll do it, but, you know, after a while the doing becomes a labor rather than an enthusiasm. You know, if we go very deep, deep into introspection and start to really be in love with God, and we start to be in that state of love, because love doesn't do, it is, it's a state of being. And when we feel that, and when we feel that union, we don't actually have to do that much. People will become inspired. I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about this, the difference between being inspired and being impressed. Someone who's Baba's instrument will make an attention that others don't become impressed. Because where others are impressed by anything in the self, whatever virtue it is, whatever aspect of knowledge, then it's so easy for them to become dependent. This is not our spiritual work. Yes, a soul who has very deep dharana. And again, dharana is only possible in introspection. Someone who has a very deep dharana, who is very genuine, will inspire. Inspire what? Inspire equality. Yes, if you've had that relationship with God, with Baba, you've really, you know, got in tune with yourself, it means I can do it too. If a teacher has a bit of a guru sanskar, it just wants others to be impressed. But it is not good. It's not good for the souls. Because Baba is called the liberator. And when we are instruments of the Father, we are here to liberate others. We are instruments of liberation. And so, an introspective soul a truly introspective soul has this genuine spirituality, and they will inspire. They will not allow souls simply to be impressed. Because, you know, being impressed creates so many complications. So many. Savior consciousness, dependence, expectation, a block in the relationship with God. This is why Baba sometimes is very strict with gurus, you know, in the Muli. Says they take people off the track. And sometimes he tells us also, remember you are nimit. You are just an instrument. Make sure that you check. Checking, where does it take place? Checking takes place in introspection. Check the intention. Not just the action. I may do the action of service, but that doesn't mean much. It may be externally successful. So what? Sometimes people think that to be successful is that others are impressed and they applaud. But actually its intention that will give me happiness, and its intention that creates a genuine generosity in service. Because, you know, actually, you know, whatever is being offered is actually God's anyway. I don't give or share. God is giving. And let the soul feel that. The soul should feel that what they're receiving is from the Father. But only when I'm introspective am I able to see my intention and to see how I'm doing things. And that in that introspection and in that checking, then there's a lot of humility. And it is on the basis of humility that I, the soul, am able to really emerge a stable self-respect. Stable, permanent, enriching, fulfilling self-respect. The seed of that is humility. And humility is visible when I'm introspective, and I'm in that mirror, that mirror of silence. And introspective doesn't mean to get lost in myself and separate. Actually, the opposite. When I'm introspective, I find myself. When I'm introspective, I become. I become a connector. I connect. I reconcile. Tune in. And someone asked once, you know, what's the definition of purity? Purity, you know, what is it actually? What is a pure soul? There are many characteristics we can talk about in terms of purity. But actually, a soul who is truly pure is able to stay in the midst of impurity and serve. They don't say, oh, this one's too dirty. Oh, this one is like this. Oh, these others are like this. And to be able to be in yourself, to have that introspection on that basis of purity, you will only feel compassion. Think of God. He's got no karmas, you know. Comes at the end of the cycle, all's a mess. And he remembers, I didn't create this. He remembers, I didn't create this. The people say, I create hell, but actually they do it. I mean, Baba tells us, you know, you've created the hell. I don't do that. I created another reality. And then you were free. And then in your freedom, number-wise, of course, you know, things started to go down. So what does he say? He doesn't say, oh, well, you know, I didn't create this. Why should I get involved? Does he say that? We do that, don't we? Well, I didn't create the mess you're in. I didn't create your karma. No, but when a soul is really pure, has that purity, it will be automatically and naturally detached and loving. The sign of purity is detached and loving. I'm caring, but I'm not entangled. Because most people are so imbalanced. As soon as they start to get caring, they get entangled in the problems. Or if they become detached, they step too far away. But if I'm pure, I naturally keep a balance, because the basis of balance is always spirituality, soul consciousness. Yes, there's care, there's attention, but, you know, if there's that deep introspection where I'm always touching base with my original pure self, I'm not afraid of impurity. I don't judge it. I'm aware of what's right and wrong, but I don't judge it. Instead, according to Baba's love and Baba's direction, to find a bridge, you know? Pure souls are really much bridge builders. Very universal people. Well, not people anymore, actually. They become what Baba calls the angels. Now, get to that a little bit later, but just to get back to this actual importance of this, I don't know what to call it, actually. Introspection. Is it a virtue? Is it a value? Is it an attitude? Is it a method? Is it a power? Maybe all of them. But introspection is to be able to be inside yourself. Because only when I turn away from matter, from time, from people, from all kinds of relationships, I need that space. We all need space. And so introspection is to go into that inner space. It's only a problem if you always stay there. That's where the problem is. But usually, because I may go become introspective because I'm fed up with people. This is not introspection. Introspection is a totally different thing. Yeah, we've explained it before. But in that introspective state, when I must at times just move away from everything and just be with God, just be with Baba, with both the incorporeal Father and angelic Father. The incorporeal Father gives the soul power. The angelic Father also gives power, but especially gives the method of how to be angelic. And where will I meet them? In the consciousness, you know. I mean, I've got to tune my consciousness and make it subtle to go to the subtle world, to feel their presence. Or otherwise, if I don't become introspective, I won't have that fine tuning. There will not be that fine tuning taking place. And Baba is never present for me. For a yogi, yoga means God is present in my moment, in my breath, in my life. It's a real partnership. But if I'm not introspective, how's that going to happen? Because in that introspection, yes, I meet myself, my original self. How important this is, how crucially important this is if I want to make any type of progressive effort. Because sometimes we don't make progressive effort, we make circular effort. Just in the same groove and the same battle and the same sanskar over and over and over again. But how to break that? And this is where then people feel guilty, they feel pressured, they feel all of this type of thing. Why? Because they're too concentrated on the defect. They're too concentrated on the weakness. They're not introspective enough. Very superficial introspection. I go within. Where? To what level? Just to see the negative things? No. The real introspection is I go in and touch base. I am a soul. Pure. Original. That's, I connect with my original purity, my original peace. And I don't do that just intellectually. In the beginning, yes, I need the understanding. But as I'm moving, the understanding should be transforming into awareness, into experience. Because see, if I don't start my transformation on the basis of my original self, pure, and I really have faith in that original purity and that original goodness. If I don't start with this, it's a constant boxing match. Very tiring and depressing. Very depressing. So this is why introspection must be deep, not superficial. Not just talking, right? This is not introspection, just not talking. my eyes should show that, you know, this quality introspection. And through my eyes there's joy. Huh? There's a joyfulness in souls that start to really connect with themselves. And then I will think more of that, I'll be aware of that, then I can deal with karma. Then I can deal with sanskars. But if I connect first with what I think is my karmic account or a defect or a problem or a situation, then it's like a huge sabotage, you know? And this was why then, you know, the path of Raj Yoga, the path of self-mastery, it doesn't become joyful anymore. So, introspecting. I meet myself, transformation takes place. Because what is transformation as compared to suppression, for example? Because that's what I've just been talking about, is one, we are suppressing, because I'm using just my own limited intellect and my own usual, let's say, my own usual power. You know, like we make things happen, we use our certain abilities, a certain understanding. But to go, you know, on a much deeper level, I need to emerge another energy inside. And that is the energy of my original self. For that to start to circulate in my consciousness. It helps a great, great deal. And then Baba's energy, of course. And then that partnership of pure soul conscious energy will help me make the shifts I need. And that's transformation. Transformation means I'm using another energy. Suppression means I'm using my usual energy. That is, my own power of understanding, my own sense of effort, that type of thing. When it's transformation, it's like I've invited God very deeply, I've invited Baba, He gives me His power. I'm also using the power of my original self, and that then transforms. Which means it dissolves things, eh? Not suppresses things, it dissolves things. And there are many things that happen in introspection. This is one of them. And another thing that happens in introspection is reflection. Sometimes we call this churning. And but, you know, reflection needs an aim. You know, not just sitting there because I should churn, I just churn this, but an aim. Whether the aim is to understand Baba better, whether the aim is a deeper dharana, whether it is to have some kind of realization about something. The reflection is I direct my intellect. I direct my mind towards a certain aim. And in reflection, I'm not pushy. I'm not anxious. And I'm not desperate for an answer. You're desperate for realizations and answers? No. Reflection is easy. Reflection is like, you know, planting the seeds. And then I water them with my faith. And yes, I'm reflecting. For example, I used to think, well, this thing that we discuss now about purity, I was thinking, you know, what is purity? Because I had that old, you know, I was brought up in this tradition that, you know, for example, monks or nuns, to keep their purity, would separate from the world, or the sannyasis. You know, it was a bit of a sanskar inside. But you know that that's not the right way somehow, especially not at this time. So one reflects on it, you know, what is purity? And you connect that purity with love, how God loves. God is pure, He's also loving, and He's also serving. So, how does He love? See, in reflecting, it's very important to ask questions that are meaningful to the self. Not just for the sake of it. And when those questions are meaningful to the self, you know what happens? There's a kind of a faith comes that the realization will come, even if it doesn't come at that moment. Sometimes when planting, you know, like when you plant a seed, you never get the flower straight away. Although, of course, sometimes we may, you know, Baba will just give the click. That can happen. But sometimes, or very often, what I have found is that seed, after some time, the fruit will come. Because I've planted it there. It's in the back of my mind. Huh? Like this thing with real purity, what it is. And it's the back of my mind. And certain, you know, things come. And then I remember one day, you know, it came like this. Just look at Baba. Purity is to be in the impure and serve it. That's compassion. And we all have the capacity to do this. It's not just one or two that can do this. So when I'm introspective, that quality type of churning, that quality type of reflection happens. And it's very satisfying to get real answers, isn't it? What else happens in introspection? Concentration. If I'm not introspective, I can't really be very concentrated. My mind, my thoughts, my intellect, my feelings jump around. They're conditioned by desires, conditioned by the past, and can be conditioned by many, many, many different things. But when I'm concentrated, it means I hold a thought. I hold that thought so deeply that then it becomes an awareness. It becomes an experience. For example, Om Shanti, I am peace. As I concentrate on that, and I concentrate it with full faith, no pushing, no tension in that concentration, the concentration is easy. Then, as I go deeper and deeper into that concentration, the experience will start to emerge. How do I connect with Baba? I have to have concentration. I can't be thinking of five different things and him at the same time. I mean, it happens, of course, but the result will not be so good. It's like, you know, you're speaking to five different people at the same time. What will be the level of communication? It's the same with God. You know, when I'm you know, connected with Baba, I'm just with him. But for that connection to take place, there has to be a concentration. And I find a lot of people who develop good concentration have good reflection, quality reflection. It's all connected. Introspection, reflection, concentration, connection. And not to get the impression that all these things are techniques, because sometimes people ask, is there a technique of concentration? Is love a technique? Is peace a technique? No. It's got to do with you giving yourself to it and having a deep wish. For deeper experience, for deeper understanding. Willingness, genuineness, honesty in the relationship with Baba and with others. It's not a technique, is it? It's an attitude. This is why I need to, usually I check my attitudes and my intention. Otherwise, there's just a technique, okay? Concentration, Om Shanti, 30 times. Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Connection with God and experiencing Baba, 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 Baba. Yeah? Techniques like this don't really fulfill the soul. So always to check my willingness, my honesty, the space I give to God in my daily life. You know, because sometimes we don't give a deep space. It's just very superficial. That even the meditation time becomes routine. There's nothing more deadly. You know, the most deadly things are sometimes very subtle. For example, to get angry, I think, is very deadly. Yeah, it's true, it is. But to make something a routine is even more deadly because you don't notice it. What you don't notice, will attack even more at one point. And it's very difficult to rise up. For example, if you get angry and you realize it straight away, okay, I have to change this. But routine, I may not notice I'm in a routine. Because I have a cleverness of knowledge. I think I'm doing it. I think I know it. But actually, it's become a routine. I've kind of fallen asleep. I don't see it. And that, of course, after some time, it can be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, any amount of time, the soul has no real enthusiasm. It's not reflective in its understanding of knowledge. It's simply philosophical. It's quite different. It's easy to be philosophical. It's not difficult. It's easy to be philosophical. It's also easy to be spiritual. It's not that it's difficult. Just that I need to be, daily attentive. And what's the big deal in being daily attentive? If I love truth, if I respect myself, why should it be difficult to be attentive? You know, difficulty is linked with the level of respect I have. Huh? I respect God, I respect myself, I respect knowledge. Then I'll pay attention. Because I will wish to be, honest with it. It's not difficult. But, sometimes we make the very simple things very complicated. That's why I find I like introspection, because actually when going into introspection, and just keeping that silence, all these sometimes very complicated things that come into all our lives, sometimes we don't know how they came. That introspection and that mirror science can just simplify things. Just simplify it. It's able to put a full stop. And now another thing that, of course, that comes in introspection is very important, and Baba has been mentioning it a lot in the last mulis, is the incorporeal stage and the avyet. And what is it? I know I'm incorporeal, but the body keeps pulling, doesn't it? One way or another. And the body consciousness that goes with it. The thing is, remember, the body's neutral, it's not the body as such, it's the ego, it's the attachments, all these things to keep pulling. Remember, matter is neutral. It's directed by consciousness. So it's not so much body conscious that we become, ego conscious, attachment conscious. And so incorporeal is to return to that authentic state of my original being in the point form, to gather all the energies of my thoughts, my feelings, and just concentrate them on this incorporeal, the form, but also the state. Because when I become very, very tiny, when I get to the essence, empowering begins. You see, when I'm speaking and thinking and expressing and this, my energy is being used. This is normal, of course, within the drama, the soul. Everything is an expression, but to empower, at this point in the cycle, to empower, I need to actually return as much as possible to the essence and of the self, that is the incorporeal stage, the non-physical stage, the non-physical self, the non-physical reality. I am a soul. And empowering. What is it that when we are empowered, what happens? For example, when I say in this one thought of Om, I am, not I was, I will be, I am. And I am a soul, it's my identity, eternal, my value comes from this, and peace. That's the religion. When this non-violent state, this non-possessive and non-desiring state, because this is what peace is. You know, it's much deeper than we think. We just think maybe no conflict or something, but peace is the, it means that state where there is complete freedom. Not desiring and possessing and wanting and things. Now, when I return to that state, what's happening to that incorporeal state, to that original state? Actually, what's happening is purification and liberation and stabilizing. Three very important things. In the incorporeal state, in that essenceful state, I also connect with Baba. And connecting with the one who is eternally incorporeal, I'm being purified. In that purification means a dissolving of old things. It also means recharging. I'm recharging because I'm connecting with his original qualities, and that vibration is bouncing back to me, that energy bouncing back, and then I start to also connect with my original qualities. Because we are very discharged at the moment. I mean, no power, no energy. And how do we recharge? Because recharging is the connection, incorporeal to incorporeal. And when they meet, there's that power. There's that where the purification naturally takes place. The dissolving of the useless, that's purification. Dissolving the things simply, of those things that simply are useless for me, that I thought were useful or even necessary. So, in the incorporeal, there is this connection. Now, if I'm not in that incorporeal, I'm stuck somewhere, then even if Baba is sending me energy, I will miss it. I will not be able to connect. And in that stage of recharging and purification, liberated. The burden starts to be lifted. And the result of that is stabilization. I'm able to be very stable. And this virtue of stability is something that is going to be very, very important for us. I mean, it is important now, but in future also. When things are chaotic, what am I going to do? When there's lots of conflicts, when there's lots of darkness on every level around me, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? It's not the time for praying, huh? Can't pray anymore. And can't do just meditation in the routine way either. There may be nowhere to sit. What am I going to do? I have to stabilize, and where do I go? I have to go inside. I have to be introspective, and that practice has to be there for a long period. Baba has been telling us this. And when I go inside, connecting with the incorporeal self and the Father, I stabilize. What happens when you stabilize in yourself? That's where I become the detached observer. Without that inner stability, I will not be able to be a detached observer. And without being a detached observer, I will not be able to serve. I will be caught up also in the confusions and the fears and the, or even maybe the wrong mercy also, you know. But when I'm introspective, stabilized in the incorporeal, detached observer, then Baba can use the soul as an instrument. So the drill that Baba has been doing with us, you know, has been this, you know, incorporeal, just become very still. The home is the world of stillness. It's not silence. It's different. Stillness, nothing is moving. In silence, things are moving. Good wishes, good feelings, thoughts are moving. When I'm in that incorporeal state, just connected and just in that awareness, not thinking. Recharging, purifying, stabilizing. And stability is one of the most, it's a crucial value, but also it's the proof and an indication of the maturity in spirituality. Because when I'm stable, it means I've conquered. You know the biggest thing to conquer? You know what it is? You've conquered it, so you don't know anymore. The biggest thing to conquer is pettiness. Petty, being petty. That's the biggest conquest usually. Sometimes the big things we conquer actually, eh? We overcome them, we transform. Sometimes all these little things, little cockroaches that get into the mind sometimes. And this takes away the stability. So, introspective, I return to that incorporeal stage. I am consciousness. I am a soul. Home, still, with my father. With my best friend. It's the best friend I've had in 5,000 years, you know. Best partner. Why? Because he's complete. You can only have a partnership or relationship between people that are complete, otherwise it's totally dysfunctional. Whether it's with people or whether it's with God, it's dysfunctional. What does that mean, dysfunctional? Needing, taking, you know, possessing, desperate, calling out. Baba says, you children should never call out, you know. It means you're still dysfunctional if you're calling out. Relate to me, Baba's telling us, isn't he? Relate to me. Children, and as a child, as a student, and as a friend. And we need all three, eh? We need all three. And in that friendship, Baba is teaching the soul to also become complete. And that's when a relationship will start to be very, very functional. Otherwise, between people, that's karma. Karma is all to do with dysfunctional relationships. It's all to do with human beings, human souls, who are complete, coming together, trying to get completeness one from the other. Doesn't work. Or completeness from a role. You know, it may not be between two people, it may be with children, it may be with job, it may be with achievement, it may be in many different ways. So incorporeal, I return to the essence of purity. That is a reality. It's not a fiction, it's not a dream, it's not a hope. It's a reality. Baba, God has told me. So this is what I am, and this is what I return to. And this is why introspection is so useful to get to that point. And angelic stage. What's that? And in the angelic stage, the Aviet stage that Baba, you know, we learn this a lot through Brahma Baba. This is why Brahma Baba is the mother, because, you know, he put all the things of the father into his life. So he became the example and also the power, also the true master in Raja Yoga. But in the angelic consciousness, there's a feeling, first of all, of instrument. Then there's companionship, and then there's brotherhood. We'll feel all these three things. A companion of God, instrument. And Brahma Baba is the perfect example of this. A companion, a partner for the task. And what is the task? Serving the human family and nature. But just as an instrument. Because an instrument naturally, very naturally, will never say, I. Just won't do it. It's not an effort not to do it, just won't do it. I do. Won't have this feeling. It's really, it's being done. And if anyone's doing, it's Baba who's doing. I'm an instrument of his love, his light. And yes, he has, what does God do? What does Baba Dada do? They spiritualize our, you know, they spiritualize our specialities, our talents. It's not that you say, Baba once told us, never go to any extreme. Never think, never say I am nothing, and never say I am everything. Whatever specialities the soul has, God will spiritualize them. Any talent, God will spiritualize them. And then the soul will feel, yes, yes, these have been made clean and they are for service. But the I will not be there, because it is the I that creates the burden on the soul. And Baba certainly wants to see the soul always feeling free. So instrument consciousness and yes, companionship. You know, I have found my eternal partner again, and I do this every cycle. And this was because companionship in life creates a great fulfillment. It's a sharing, it's a complementing, it's many beautiful things. And it's very natural for this human soul to feel this. In the gold and silver age, it works between human souls because each one is complete. Here, it is a disaster. Usually, it is. Usually. I'm sure there must be exceptions, but usually it is. And so Baba is teaching me, through the companionship with him, how to be good companions with others. He doesn't keep me to himself. He says, oh, now you're just mine and forget everyone else. But he does say forget everyone, but he says it in the context of breaking my needs, breaking my selfishness. That's why he says forget others. He doesn't mean it, you know, renounce their existence from your mind. No, he says renounce your selfishness, renounce, because attachment is all selfishness. That's what you have to forget. So when I connect with Baba in the Aviet and feel that companionship, as the soul starts to become complete, then Baba is showing the soul how then to relate to others. And this is how the golden age is formed. God's not there. Baba's not there. And things run for quite a few thousand years very well. And even in copper age it's not so bad. Quite good. But this, the angel will feel always that God is its eternal and constant friend and companion and will listen, will be obedient. Because God will not impose. God will not interfere. God has respect for what the soul is. And the soul trusts that respect. This is companionship. Very, very Nice feeling at the end of the cycle. And Baba gives us the invitation to all his children, you know. He says, you can be this, you can be with me. There's no restrictions. Country or gender or age or whatever. Everything begins from now. And then the third thing, brotherhood, or, you know, maybe, you know, the Aviat consciousness is always the tree of humanity. Integrating, reconciling, serving. But beyond that, it's this feeling that all of humanity, really, I'm a part of this eternal family. Because it's an eternal family. And this is why the angel will be inclusive. You know, an angel is not Buddhist, huh? Like God. God's not Buddhist or Christian or Muslim or... not as far as I know. Angels neither. Angels don't have labels. Do they? Angels may have their own characteristics, but they will have this universality of consciousness where they have gone beyond boundaries. And genuinely they feel the inclusiveness. Genuinely they feel God is our father, our mother, our friend for all of us. Because for angels also, all human souls are still brothers and sisters. So in the Aviat, there is this feeling of family. And really beyond labels. Like God is truly beyond labels. Religions make a big mistake in this. They label him a lot. And he's not like that. Belongs to everyone. So this is what Baba is saying, you know. And like Brahma Baba, he's an angel too. He's an angel for all souls. He's the father of all humanity. He may have to be located in a particular geographic place. India, like all of us, we have to be for a service somewhere. But the consciousness is of, you know, the embrace. An angel embraces, you know, and does it very naturally. So in the Aviat stage, these are the things that we feel. And again, only if I'm introspective I'm able to have these experiences. If I learn to go within, because how am I going to connect with Baba? How am I going to connect with the angelic world, incorporeal? How am I going to connect even with other souls, even here on the corporeal? It's very subtle. And I have to use my subtle power. And if I don't go inside, I'm going to be stuck in my lokic powers. Speaking. Also, you know, acting, which we need to do those things, but they need to be subtle. They need to be totally spiritualized. So it's a very wonderful time, a very blessed time, and very, I think all of us realize that we are fortunate to have this opportunity. But then one who's really an angel wishes that every soul has fortune also. I don't want it to be just for myself. So an angel will have this generosity that everybody should have fortune. Okay, which whatever level they may wish to create, that's their decision. But it's a fortune to know that they are souls. It's a fortune to know that they are loved by God. It's a fortune to know that they do belong to this world family. So, it's and so let us use our fortune to cooperate in even creating the fortune of others, because this will stay with them for eternity, as is for us. It will stay with us for eternity. And it's not just, you know, for today or tomorrow. So Om Shanti. And we'll do now maybe a few exercises in incorporeal. The drill, as Baba says, he showed us, and he says to experiment with it. The drill, again, through introspection, we're able to do this. So we'll do this exercise, incorporeal and aviet. Very, very gently, I relax. I relax my mind. I collect the energy of my mind, the energy of my feelings. I concentrate on the center of my forehead, on the incorporeal self. And as I go deeper and deeper into silence and into myself, as I become introspective, I begin to remember. I remember my eternity. My spiritual identity. Who am I? I remember. Om, I am. I am a soul. I am light. A point of eternal light. Gently, I go into the depths of this consciousness. Om, I am. I am a soul. My being is light. Shanti, peace. The deepest freedom, the deepest harmony. I am this. I am free. I am content. I am peace. Let me remain in this awareness. Om Shanti. I, the soul, an eternal being. I am free. I am peaceful. I am complete. I remain in this consciousness. Peace, freedom, harmony, eternity. connect with one thought. Just one thought. I come to my original home, the incorporeal world, a world of liberation, a world of light. I remember, this is my home. I have come home again. From here, I began my journey to the earth to play my part, to express, to create, to relate. But now, I've come back home. 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 I feel secure. Here. I am a point. A seed. And in this world, I see a light. And I remember this light. I come closer and closer. And I remember. I remember you, my eternal Father. I remember you. My eternal mother, the ocean of love, the love that does not see my weakness, the love that accepts and liberates me. I have come home again. Remember your friendship. Let me remain here with you. You respond, and I feel the current, the sakash of the purest love and the deepest peace enter me. This is the union. The highest union, bliss. I am with you, and you are with me. This is the highest relationship. Let us remain here, together, in light, in silence, in love. Light and silence. Thank you.
have let go of everything of the past. I have let go of old thoughts, old feelings. And I come to the world of angelic light. And in this world, I am with you, my eternal Father and my angelic Father. And I wear a form of light. I remember my destiny. I remember the call to be a being of light, to serve through light, to be light. And as I step into time and into the world of sound and matter, in my consciousness, in my awareness, I remain here with my two fathers. And I feel a part of this human family, all my brothers and sisters, and nature. I hear their call. And I become an instrument of the Father's love, of the Father's light. Beyond words, beyond even thoughts, vibrating peace, love, purity, a lighthouse on the earth. Let me remain in this Aviet consciousness. Let me remain in this union with you, my beloved Father and friend, and vibrate your love and your peace.